Good morning. So wonderful to see everybody gathered together. Our first time together as the church in 2014. What a wonderful time to begin the new year. If you are a guest with us this morning, we are excited that you are here with us, and we have guest cards that are located right in front of you in the pew. If you would fill one of those out, we would enjoy having a record of you being with us, and you can put it in the offering plate when that comes around this morning. We have a few announcements I want to make sure we go through, and before we do that in particular, I would like to acknowledge our children, youth, parents, leaders, and families. Just real brief, the past week has been amazing in two specific regards. Last Sunday night, we had a lock-in, and yesterday we had our children's sled day, and both were just amazing to see how leaders and families came together and worked in just a phenomenal way to make both of those events and times of fellowship and outreach work together. Really, without all of the support and everyone working together the way they did last week and yesterday, they wouldn't be possible. So I wanted to encourage and thank all of you for the way that is being done. It's just tremendous to see how everyone is coming together in such a unified way. And speaking of Journey and Awana, or speaking of our children and youth, Journey and Awana starts back tonight at 4:30. We'd love to see everybody come out to that. And for Awana, parents, have your children wear white for snow day tonight. Okay. Two other announcements. Make sure to sign up for the blood drive that is located in the atrium. And next week, during the business meeting, we'd really like to encourage everyone to be here during that time. We'll have a specific discussion and question and answer time about our disciple and church focus, the possibility of that starting in February. So if you can't be here next week, please be here to discuss that. Do we have any other announcements before we begin our worship service? No? Well, hearing none, let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. God, we are so grateful to be here during the new year. Lord, we know it is a time to celebrate. It is a time to reflect. It is a time to bring concern. It is a time to know that you have brought us together to learn about you, to love you, and to teach others and tell others about your love. God, guide us this morning. May our time together in worship be a fruitful time. May it be a fruitful endeavor when we leave this place. We will continue to spread your love to others through our words and our actions. May the praises we sing to you, may the words that we hear and the reflections we have be guided by your Holy Spirit to transform us into your Son's image. And God, it's always in his holy name we pray. Amen. Now let us spend several moments preparing our hearts for our worship service.
Good morning. Let's turn in our hymnal to page 7. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, and I hope we have come to adore him and to worship him and forget about ourselves and give him all the glory. Page 7, let's all stand.
Wonderful to hear everyone sing praises to God this morning. I'm always excited to have our time together as well. I want to make sure everybody can see me. Can everyone see this? Can somebody tell me what is inside this jar? Snow, right? Where did I get snow, though? We don't have any snow outside. Where did I get it from? Where at? At the sled day. You're right. So this actually came from the sled day. Now, did everybody enjoy yesterday that was here? Did y'all have fun at the sled day?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I was so excited to see everybody that came yesterday. It was so wonderful to see how we could all spend time together and just enjoy being here and reach out inviting friends and seeing how God could use that time together. But you know what? One thing I've learned about snow, especially North Carolina snow, as soon as it comes, sometimes it's going to disappear and disappear fast. And, you know, it may be a little cold this week, so that may stay around a little while. But most times in North Carolina, when snow comes, it disappears quickly. And even if we want it to go or stay around for a while, we may love playing in it and sledding in it and having snowball fights. At some point, it's going to disappear. It's not going to be with us anymore. But, you know, there's one thing that never changes and that never disappears, and that's Jesus' love for us. And if you were here yesterday, we spent a little time in the children's room talking about one verse in particular in Romans. And I want you to hear that again. It's Romans 10, verse 9. And it says this: if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that means that Jesus will love us always. And if we tell Jesus we love him and that we believe in him and we want him to forgive us of our sins, we will be saved and one day be with him in heaven forever. And that's exciting and something that will never disappear, unlike the snow right here. All right? So let's pray about that this morning. God, we are so thankful that you always love us, and we never have to worry about that disappearing. God, teach us to love you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right. I'll see y'all next week. Okay.
As they are returning to their seats, let me invite you to open your bulletin and add my thanksgiving for the snow day, and I am very proud to report that I have not met my deductible in 2014 this year. I'm even more glad that I'm here on the Sunday after sled day this year as well. It was well done. It was marvelous time, many folks in our community. And I will pray about those that came Some of them need church homes, and I pray God would impress upon them that Flat Springs Baptist Church is a wonderful, wonderful choice for that church home. Let me remind each of us that today you have perfect attendance in worship, and if you were here in Sunday school for 2014, keep it up. Keep it up all year. We're delighted to see you out, and thank you for your faithfulness in so many ways last year. And to our visitors, we're delighted you're here today. Our prayer list is long, and I'm going to add some more names to it as we share today. Although we've had a marvelous time, I think the music has blessed me as much this year, if not a little bit more than ever before. And I appreciate all the hard work of all that. But during all that joy, we've had a lot of tragedy that's been sprinkled in, and maybe that's a reminder of how life goes. This past week, we shared in the funeral service for Brother Clifford Dickens, a special man. And then this past Friday night, we shared in another memorial service for Scott Smith, and we want to remember his family in our prayers in a very special way. Received word that Becky Elks passed away as well. We want to keep that family in our prayers as we continue to lift these needs up to the Lord. And then I got a phone call this week from Sandy High, and many of you will know Sandy. And Sandy has hospice has been called in, and he and I are chatting, and I told him I was going to add him to our prayer list, and so I want to mention that name. It's on our special ongoing list already, but I would ask that you would keep Sandy in your prayers in a very special way. And then I'd like to add some names. First, the name of Justin Sharp. Justin is very critically ill at Chapel Hill. In fact, I'm headed there this afternoon. We want to keep him in our prayers. He's had a very bad infection. His lungs are not working well, and the prognosis is not good. We want to keep this family in our prayers in a very special way. I received word just a few moments ago that a community person that many of us know, C.M. Wicker, is going to have surgery this Wednesday. They're going to be amputating a leg. We want to keep CM in our prayers in a very special way. And then I'd like to also add Lisa Leslie to our prayer concern. She is having some ongoing issues, going to have a test tomorrow. We want to keep her in our prayers. And then Jerry Nance had a fall this week and is going to be undergoing some testing this coming week. We want to keep Jerry lifted up in our prayers in a very special way. Our list is long. Our opportunity is great, and our God is good. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we come before you on this morning, the first Sunday of a new year, we pray for a new day to dawn in our heart and in our life, a new understanding of what it is to walk with you, a new and fresh commitment and recommitment to who you are in our life. And Lord, as we have shared from this list, and we haven't shared all the names that are on this list, we lift them to your care and ask, oh God, that you would bless each and every need. And Lord, on our own hearts, there may be some that aren't on this list. We lift them to your precious throne, knowing that in you we find peace, we find healing, and we find hope. And so, Lord, would you be with us now as we continue to worship you on this day when we will begin this new year by coming to the table of remembrance, the table of following what you taught us when you told the first disciples, this is my body and this is my blood, which I give for you. Lord, what a sacrifice you have made. May we find in our own walk, as we worship you today, a desire to give you all that we are and all that we have. In Christ's name we pray.
Now, page 431, there's a glad new song. Let's sing all three verses joyfully. Let's all stand.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come today to worship you. We pray that you would be with those who have needs, physical and emotional, and loneliness and depression and all the things that sometimes we can get after Christmas and during the new year and the cold winter months. We pray that you would bless these tithes and offerings and bless the giver and forgive us for every sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
How long has it been since you prayed in earnest? I know we pray a lot, but sometimes in the old days, times were tough and they didn't have what they needed and they knew they wouldn't. Maybe they might not even make it through the winter. I'm old enough to remember Mama talking about the Great Depression and how she was in Kansas and they didn't have much. No matter what you made, you couldn't buy anything because a lot of times it wasn't there. And then before the Depression could recover, they had in Kansas and the Great Plains, they had the Black Blizzard, the Dust Bowl. And these were times where no salespeople would go in that area. If you had money, you couldn't buy anything because the products couldn't get to that area. At times when sometimes they'd hook a wire from the barn to the house so that when it got real bad, you could follow the wire to the house and not get lost in the storm. And then that did recover, and then World War II came out, and mamas and daddies sent their boys overseas. And in those days, overseas was like going to the moon. Today it's no big deal to fly to Europe or Asia. But they saw their boys go off to war, and many of them wouldn't come back. Many parents and grandparents stayed on their knees sometimes all night praying for that person to make it back safe. We have a good life these days. We have an easy life. I know it's hard for many people. I know there's been despair. But sometimes we need to look back and say, well, you know, I really need to, if nothing else, I need to get on my knees and thank the Lord for what I do have. How long has it been?
Thank you, choir. Another name on our prayer list is that of Sylvia Brown. And I was up visiting with her and talking with Mickey. Not only do we need to pray on, maybe in 2014 we ought to examine how we pray. And Mickey said something to me. He says, you know, Pastor, if we prayed as hard to get the lost into the kingdom as we do to keep saints who are sick out of heaven, I never thought of it like that. I'm still going to pray to keep the saints out of heaven as long as I can. But I do need to be praying for the lost. Luann, thank you for blessing us with that powerful message of God's touch. Let me invite you to open your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. The church is struggling with being the church. It's always a struggle to be the church. But it's always worth the struggle. And in those moments, as the Holy Spirit revealed to the Apostle Paul those timeless nuggets, those powerful passages that change everything. In the fifth chapter, he gives us one of his best. Inspired by God, I want us to pay attention for our text today at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to begin to read in verse 16. And we're going to read through verse 21. If you're able, I'd like to invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. That's a tremendous New Year's resolution right there. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, and through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, would you speak to us this moment, first from your word and then from your table, that we might begin this year of Sunday worship as a new day dawning. In Christ's name we pray. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me invite you to open your hymn book and mark it at page 61, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us, page 61. That will be our hymn of decision at the conclusion of the message. Gary Freeman tells a story about a girl who went to college and she just hated it. I mean, she hated it. Hated it. And she told herself, if I could ever get out of college, if I can never get out of college and get married and have a family, I'll be able to enjoy life. So she stuck with it through college and went to classes and finally graduated. And then she got married and she had children. And she discovered children are a lot of work. So she told herself, if I can just get these kids raised, if I can just get these kids raised and get them through college, then I can really enjoy life. Well, when the kids were in high school, her husband said, honey, don't you love it when your husband says, honey, don't you know something good's fixing to come next? Honey, we're not going to have enough money to send the kids to college. You're going to need to go to work. She knew he was right. So she got a job, and she hated it. She hated it. It was worse than college. But she wanted her kids to go to school, so she thought, if I can just get them through college, if I can just get them through college, I'll quit this sorry job, and then I'll enjoy life. So she worked and hated it, but got the kids through college. And she went in to tell her boss that she was going to quit. He said, well, you don't want to quit now. If you just work 8 more years, you'll have a fully funded pension, and you can retire. And she thought, I hate this job. But that sure would be nice in retirement to have that money. Well, after I work 8 more years and earn my pension, then I'll be able to enjoy life. And so she did. She worked for 8 more years. And she then retired. They bought a cottage. And every day they sat down and swung on their front porch looking at family pictures and dreaming about the good old days. Isn't that how life is? A new day coming. In Ephesians 5:16, the King James says, redeem the time, for the days are evil. The English Standard Version says, make good use of the time. I don't know if you made New Year's resolutions. I don't know how you did on those you made last year. But here we are, the first Sunday, about to share from the Lord's table. And my mind was drawn to what the Apostle Paul said about newness. A new day. Would we like a new day? First of all, in our personal life, our walk with God, would we like a new day? Would we like for, as we sometimes sing, it just keeps getting better and better, oh Lord? Would we like that? How about in our family? Would we like a new day to dawn? Oh, please, please don't misunderstand me. When I say a new day dawning, I'm not talking about maybe any of the circumstances changing. But I'm talking about changing ourselves to face the circumstances. A new day dawning. Would that be good? Quickly this morning, I want us to look at 3 truths. The first one is, a new day can dawn when we regard others differently. Paul, who had persecuted Christ, saw him differently. And when he saw him differently, he saw him in a new way. I think it might be good to ask us, how do we regard Christ? I'm not sure that when even I hear in the public arena people talking about God, they're talking about the same God I know and I love. I don't believe they're talking about the God of the Bible. I don't believe they're referring to the one who said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. Maybe I could ask it this way. Are we ready to become new ourselves? Are we ready to see Christ differently? Our time is limited. In 1995, two fellows came together, and they published this, and I actually looked it up online in People's Magazine. And they came up with a clock they called Timesis. And you can go do this online now. You don't have to get a clock. But I think this was like a clock you had in your house. Anybody got a clock called Thomas's? I don't think it really made a big splash in the marketing world. But what it was this, it was a clock that would take certain information about who you were, and it would calculate how much longer you had to live. So every day when you woke up, you could go look at that clock, and it would tell you how many days you had left. Based on men living to 75 and women living to 80. Now, they might need to change that by actuary tables now. I wonder what that would be like every day to look at a clock. The psalmist tells us our days are numbered. And yet, I don't know about you, but I'm going to tell you I am sometimes guilty of thinking that I've got all the time in the world. That I have unlimited time. Makes it easy for me to put things off when I got lots of time, you know? Oh, I'm going to do that. It's important. Just not today. Just not today. I probably ought to call him or her, but not today. I probably ought to fix that with him or her. We regard no one according to the flesh, Paul said. A new day dawns when we begin to regard people as Christ regards them. We see people differently. In 2014, I wonder if there are some areas in how we see people, maybe how we judge people, maybe how we deal with people, that we need a new day to dawn. We need a new understanding. Maybe we need to move to our second point this morning, that of reconciliation. In verse 18 of our text, he says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. I looked up the word reconcile, and it means to restore to harmony. To restore to harmony. I was watching a commercial for someone, and it was a guy, and it was a lady and a child. They were kind of playing the piano and kind of singing. You understand what I'm saying? Let me say it another way. It was horrible, okay? It was horrible. She couldn't play, and neither could sing. I mean, it was terrible. They may have been cut out to be a singer, but they got sewed up real wrong, I'm telling you. It was no good. And they weren't watching him, and the expression on his face was the same expression that probably was on my face. That's horrible. But then they turned and looked at him. And he just smiled like he was enjoying that music. Harmony. You know when somebody sings off key, don't you? Unless it's you. I wonder if there's some broken harmony. Reconcile. Jesus came because my sin had broken our harmony. I couldn't be with God. My sin separates me from God. That's what sin does. That's why we come to this table and talk about the blood and the body of Christ, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ who died on the cross to atone for our sin. And he reconciled me to himself. While I was still a sinner, Christ died and reconciled me. And he brought me to right relationship. A new day can dawn when I receive the relationship, the ministry of reconciliation. What do we need to restore? Who do we need to restore? Who do we need to say, no more? We're not going to live like this anymore. I'm not going to go to bed and every time I think of you, a bad thought runs in my mind. Every time I see you on the street, I get a knot in my stomach. I'm not going to live like this anymore. Well, what if they don't agree to it? We're not talking about them. We're talking about us today, right? What we can do. New people. New creations. The old is passed away. Is that just talk? Or is the power of the Holy Spirit of God inhabiting a willing heart able to do what God says He can do? I believe He can. I believe He will. I believe He can create in us newness that we've never dreamed possible. And when we allow Him to do those two things, change how we regard people, which leads us to the ministry of reconciliation, then and only then do we become the righteous of God. Oh, we've got a wonderful message. That God has died. We proclaimed it during Christmas. We'll proclaim it again at Easter. That the atoning blood of Jesus Christ washes away our sin. Life's full of ups and downs. I love the old Irish blessing. You remember it? May you always have enough happiness to keep you sweet. Enough trials to keep you strong. Enough sorrow to keep you human. Enough hope to keep you happy. Enough failure to keep you humble. Enough success to keep you eager. Enough friends to give you comfort. Enough wealth to meet your needs. Enough enthusiasm to look forward. Enough determination to make each day better than yesterday. That's a tremendous blessing. That kind of hits at the core of the righteousness of God. As we conclude today, there's a tremendous example in our Bible of one who changed how she regarded others, accepted the ministry of reconciliation, and became the righteous of God. It's found in John's Gospel, the 4th chapter. It's too long for us to read in our limited time. But a new day dawned in a Samaritan village when a woman who was known as a bad reputation kind of gal made her way to a well and met Jesus there at high noon. He began to talk about living water. He told her he was the Messiah. And she believed him. She had lived an immoral life and was in the midst of immorality at that very moment when she came to the well. Some say she came to the well at high noon because nobody else would be there. And it would save her their stares and harsh words. But a new day dawned at that well, not only for her, but for her village. Because the scriptures go on to say that she changed. She sought Jesus first just as a man. How do you see Jesus? Do we just see Him as... How do we see Him? She saw Him first just as a man without any way to get water. But before she left, she realized He was the Messiah. Oh, before you... In just a moment, when you hold in your hands a piece of bread and a small little cup, how will you regard Jesus that we shall hold in our hands and His gift to us? Oh, when she regarded Him differently, she immediately accepted. She went there at high noon because she didn't want to see anybody. But it says when she left there, she went back to the village and told everybody, guess who I've met? Guess who I saw? She accepted, once she changed how she regarded Jesus, she accepted the ministry of reconciliation. You see, when we change how we regard Jesus, we immediately become instruments of reconciliation. We can't help. We're going to be about restoring some harmony. We're not only going to be praying to keep saints out of heaven, we're going to be praying to keep those who are lost in heaven. it's going to change how we think. And then she became the righteousness of God. In verse 39 of John chapter 4, it says, and many came to know Christ because of her testimony. A new day dawned. A new day dawned. A woman went thinking she was going to get water at the worst time of day to save herself some embarrassment. And she came back with the King of Kings as Lord of her life. It could happen today. It could happen right now. A new day could dawn in my life, in your life. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Happy New Year. And blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, in this moment of choice and decision, would you speak to us clearly about the new day that needs to dawn in our life? What do we need to give to you? What old thing needs to pass away? What old habit needs to pass away? What old attitude needs to pass away? What old prejudice needs to pass away? What old hard feelings need to pass away? Lord, we want to be in you all of 2014. Create in us a new clean heart. Forgive us of our sin. And walk with us in the newness of life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is page 61. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. This morning as we prepare to come to the Lord's table, there is no better way. There is no better way than to make sure He's leading us. Where would He lead us today as we stand together and sing? Would you please be seated? We are about to come to the Lord's table, and at Flat Springs we observe an open communion. We invite all baptized believers to share from the Lord's table. So we invite you now to the Lord's table.
During this time, as we celebrate and remember the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. God, we come before you during this time. We are humbled to stand here, Lord, knowing that we are remembering the life, the death, and the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the way in which that gives us life. Lord, teach us now to reflect on that. In your Son's name we pray. Listen to the words in John chapter 6, verse 58. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever.
And it said on that same night, after our Lord had finished the meal, he gave them a cup. And he said, "This is my blood, and I shed it for you." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, on this first Sunday of 2014, as we hold the gift of life in our hands in a small cup, we pray, make us a new creation. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. And according to the law, I may almost say that all things are cleansed with the shedding of blood. And apart from the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. Stand with me. They said on that night after our Lord had instituted the first Lord's Supper that they left the upper room and went to a garden called Gethsemane, where there He would be arrested. He would be carried before the Sanhedrin, Pontius Pilate, King Herod, ultimately back to Pontius Pilate. There he would be sentenced to death. He and two others would be led from the city to a place called Golgotha, Calvary. There for your sin and my sin, he would be nailed to a tree, and there he would hang until he died. They took down his body and placed it in the borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. That was Friday, the first day. Saturday was the second day. And then on the third day, that first Easter Sunday, that first day of the week, when the women went to anoint his body, they found the stone rolled away and an angel who said, "Why seek the living among the dead? Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell His disciples He has risen from the dead." Brothers and sisters, as we have shared from His table, that is still our message for 2014, that He has risen. He has risen indeed. They sang a hymn before they left that upper room. Would you join hands with one next to you? I'd ask the diaconate to join me. You can bridge that. We got it. That's good. And let us sing. There we go. Blessed be the tie that binds. God bless you.